Well, good morning. We are working through the book of Numbers. We're in chapter 24 today. 24 is a continuation of a story that began several chapters before with a guy named Balaam, who is a prophet of sorts. He's not necessarily a prophet only of God, but God is speaking to him. And Balaam is asked by a guy named King Balak, who is the king of Moab, to come and to curse Israel because Israel is moving through his territory and he's scared, he's worried, he's concerned about the fact that this guy is moving through there, or this nation is moving through there, and he's worried about them being conquered. Israel has been peaceful for the most part, moving through the area. They have only retaliated against those who have fought against them. They've not been the aggressor in any of these particular incidences. So King Balak is a little ahead of the gun, so to speak. He's jumping the gun in that he is trying to get them cursed so that they don't overtake him. And so he goes get Balaam, and Balaam comes. And last week we looked at the fact that he takes Balaam up on a high place and he lets Balaam look over and he says, go ahead and curse them. And Balaam says, well, I've got to talk to God first and we got to hear what God has to say. And so God gives Balaam an oracle, or he gives him a message, and the message is that Israel is to be blessed. And so Balaam blesses Israel, and Balak, the king, is not really happy with that. He's like, I'm paying you to curse them, and you're blessing them. Stop that. So why don't we go to another place? He said, I'll take you to another cliff, and you can look over the nation from a different angle, and maybe we'll get a different word. And so he goes to this new place. They sacrifice, and Balaam goes again. He talks to God. And God blesses Israel again. And so Balaam blesses Israel. And Balak is not real happy with this. He says, well, I'll tell you what, maybe a third time's the charm. And he takes him to a place called Peor, again, where he's overlooking. And Balaam is able to look down and see all of Israel and see all of the nation and the 12 tribes and in how they are set up in their 12 different tribes according to how God told them to do, and they are ready for battle if battle comes to them. And so Balak says, well, maybe this is third time's the charm. Maybe we'll get the curse that I'm going to be paying for. And so Balaam goes and he talks to God, and that's where we left off last week. So this week we're going to get the third oracle, and we get a bonus oracle from Balaam as well. And so what I want to do is I want to read for us chapter 24. We'll hear what God has to tell Israel through Balaam. And this is what he says. It says, since Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go to seek omens as on previous occasions, but turned toward the wilderness. When Balaam looked up and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him, and he proclaimed his poem. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eyes are opened, the oracle of the one who hears the sayings of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls into a trance when his eyes uncovered. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, your dwellings, Israel. They stretch out like river valleys, like gardens beside a stream. Like aloes the Lord has planted, like cedars beside the water. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by abundant water. His king will be greater than Agag, and his kingdom will be exalted. God brought him out of Egypt. He is like the horns of a wild ox for them. He will feed on enemy nations and gnaw their bones. He will strike them with his arrows. He crouches, he lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Then Balak became furious with Balaam, struck his hands together, and said to him, I summon you to put a curse on my enemies, but instead you have blessed them these three times. Now go to your home. I said I would reward you richly, but look, the Lord has denied you a reward. Balaam answered Balak, didn't I previously tell the messengers you sent to me, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not go against the Lord's command to do anything good or bad of my own will. I will say whatever the Lord says. Now I am going back to my people, but first let me warn you that these people will do to you, to your people in the future. He says this, then Balak proclaimed his poem. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eyes are open, the oracle of one who hears the sayings of the Lord and has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls into a trance with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will rise from Israel. He will smash the forehead of Moab and strike down all the Shittites. Edom will become a possession, Seir will become a possession of its enemies, but Israel will be triumphant. One who comes from Jacob will rule. He will destroy the city's survivors. Then Balaam, son of Amalek, and proclaimed his poem. Then Balaam saw Amalek and proclaimed his poem. Amalek, the first among the nations, but his future is destruction. Next he saw the Kenites and proclaimed his poem. Your dwelling place is enduring. Your nest is set in the cliffs. Cain will be destroyed when Ashur takes you captive. Once more he proclaimed his poem. Ah, who can live when God does this? Ships will come from the coast of Kittim. They will affect Ashur and Eber, but they too will come to destruction. Balaam then arose, went back to his homeland, and Balak also went his way. So this morning we see two oracles or two different sayings that happen here. We have the third and final. I've called it three strikes. Balak is out, or Balaam is out. Depending on how you want to look at it, Balak is out of places to take Balaam, and Balaam is out because he has done his final blessing of Israel rather than curse. So we see Balaam is looking again. He's on this high cliff. He's looking down, and he sees these 12 tribes, and he sees them according to their war. Structure, their war formation. And he gives an oracle, and it's interesting. He looks at the 12 tribes and he gives an oracle that has 12 parallels or 12 couplets in which he is going to bless Israel instead of curse them. He extols Israel's war camp. He says Israel is a strong nation who will destroy other nations. That's not what Balak wanted to hear. It's not the point of Balak bringing Balaam to him so that he can curse them. Israel here is pictured like a lion. And Balaam tells him, you need to let lying lions lie. Say that five times fast. You need to let lying lions lie. You better not mess with them. And so Balak is angry, he is incensed, he claps his hands together, he says, I was going to pay you a lot of money, but you're out of luck because God has stopped you from your payday. And so he says, you need to go home. Balaam has struck out, so to speak. And Balak recognizes that this is God's judgment because he says, God is the one who's keeping you from the reward. Balaam acknowledges that it is God's words as well. Again, he says, you know what? I could have said a curse, but God is the one who says what I can say and what I can't say. And Balaam learned from the whole donkey incident that you better say only what God tells you to say. And so what does this mean for us? How do we apply this to our lives? What does this oracle have to do with us? Well, we learn one, that if you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. This is repeated again and again. But more importantly than that, or on another note, we see that it is important to take God's word seriously. Balak has to take God's word seriously. Now, he's not reading the Bible because he doesn't have the Bible. He's living the Bible. But he comes to find out that when God speaks through this man, Balaam, that God's word is to be taken seriously. He needs to apply it to his life. He needs to learn it. And the same thing with you and I, that even though we may not be living the Bible, we should be reading the Bible. We should be applying what the Bible says to our lives. We should be learning the Bible. We need to make sure that Scripture is important for us. It's something that we take part of daily. It's something that we talk about. It's something that we live out. And not just something we come in contact with time or from time to time. So here, this third oracle, we see Israel blessed again, and Balaam is sent home. But Balaam is going to offer some parting words. Balaam says, oh, by the way, I've got some bonus words for you. And these bonus words has to do with someone who is coming. A star, he says, is coming. And so we see this star to come. And he begins to describe what will happen with this star. And he begins to describe what will happen when this king will come. That this king will come from Jacob. This king will come from Israel. And this king will utterly destroy Moab. Again, Balak is king of Moab. Balak is a Moabite who has gone and called Balak. Balak has gone and called Balaam to, man, that's too many beasts. Balak has called Balaam to go and curse Israel because he wants to protect his nation of Moab. But because Moab has been aggressive toward Israel, Balaam says, oh, by the way, God is going to destroy you. There's going to be a king coming, and he will crush your forehead. Not only you, but he will crush others like the Edomites. Now, if you remember, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Israel moving back into position to go into the Holy Land. And there's only been one other nation that has said, you can't pass through here. There's been some nations that have gone out and tried to fight against them, and they lost. But Edom says, you can't pass through our land. And Moab says, you can't pass through our land. These two nations who are connected to Israel in their past, because they are actually relatives of them, have not treated them in a manner that you should treat those who are your relatives. Now, I know some of you may have relatives you don't like, but you treat family like family. And Israel is not being treated like family. Instead, Israel has been being treated harshly. They're told, you need to go away. You need to not pass through our land. Don't come to our home. Don't come through our homeland. Don't try to eat here. Don't try to drink here. Don't do anything. Don't even walk on our roads. And the hospitality, which is a great character and a great virtue of the Middle East and of this time period, is not being taken up as part of the character of Edom or the Moabites. And so Edom will be also beaten, along with some other nations that are mentioned. And Balaam says, okay, I'm going home. He goes home without a payday. He goes home without anything. He doesn't get a tip. He doesn't get anything because he doesn't make Balak happy. Now, there's going to be times in your life where men want you to please them. And if you are honest with them and biblically truthful with them, you're not going to please them. You're not going to make them happy with what you have to say, with what God has to say. And so sometimes you just have to disappoint people. It doesn't mean we go around and relish the opportunity to hurt people's feelings. It doesn't mean we go around relishing the opportunity to talk down to people or to hurt them. But it does mean that we are true to God and not true to man. Balaam was true to God. He was not true to Balak. Balaam could have got a huge payday if he would have just brought out some curse and cursed Israel. It may not have worked. It probably would not have worked, because when God is blessed, who can curse it? And Israel was blessed by God. Israel was taken out of the land of Egypt. God is described as the horns of the oxen that is destroying the other nations. God is the power behind the Israelites. God is the one who is doing everything for them. And so God is the one who is blessing Israel, even when people like King Balak want to curse them. So there are going to be times in your life where you have an opportunity to be truthful to God's word, or you have an opportunity to please men and women. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a person pleaser, or are you going to be a God pleaser? And in both of these two oracles, Balaam begins to describe himself. And I want to bring out some of those descriptors as we close. Well, before I do that, let me say this. That the king that is being talked about is most probably King David. This star that is coming is most probably King David. Under King David, the Moabites are crushed. Edom is struck down. The territories of Israel is widened. But more so than with King David, we get to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and we see Jesus, who is the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. And it is described in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, says this: I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of who will crush the enemies of Israel. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of those who have come against God and who will be crushed. In Philippians chapter 2, we have this beautiful hymn that talks about people who will bow their knees one day. Those who are in heaven, those who are on earth, those who are below the earth, everyone, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of God's blessing. In him we find hope, in him we find peace, in him we find love, in him we find life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the ultimate fulfillment of what God wants for us. And in closing, I want us to look at some of these characteristics of Balaam. Again, in both of these oracles, Balaam talks about himself a little bit, and I want to pull out four aspects of how he describes himself. Number one, he describes himself as a man whose eyes are open. His eyes are open. He's a man who sees what God is doing. He's a man who has watched. He's a man who perceives what God is doing around him. And I want to ask you, are you someone whose spiritual eyes are open? Or is that something you need to pray about? Is that something you need to ask God, that you could see where he's at work around you, to see what he's doing, to see how he's working out his plan for his glory and his honor? Balaam's eyes are open. He sees Israel. He sees what they've done. Secondly, he's a man who hears the words of God. And while you and I are not prophets and you and I are not hearing the words of God so that we can proclaim them to others, we have the word of God in written form that we can read and we can ingest and we can take into our own life daily by reading the Bible and understanding it. We can read it aloud. We can listen to it. We've got so many different ways of having the Bible put it into our lives. Are you a person who hears the word of God? The third thing Balaam says about himself, he is a man who has knowledge of the Most High God. Are you someone who knows about God? Are you someone who has knowledge about the Most High? Are you someone who understands some of the characteristics of who God is? No, you're not going to fully understand God. You're not going to totally comprehend God. No one can. That's what makes him God. But there are truths that we find in Scripture that describe who God is. And we see here Balaam saying, you know what? I know how God is operating here. And the last thing we see is that he is someone who falls down. And the idea is that he falls down in worship. Balaam recognizes who God is. And that God is ultimately worthy of worship. He's a man whose eyes are open. He's a man who hears the words of God. He's a man who has knowledge of the Most High. And he's a man who falls and worships. Are you like Balaam in this? Are you someone who's willing to please God above all others? Are you willing to give God glory? Give God your life. Give God your time. Give God your finances. Give God your energy. Give God your family. Give God your passions and your dreams so that he can use them for his glory and his honor. As we close, I invite you to spend some time. Pray the Holy Spirit speaks to you in what we said today or what we heard today through God's word. I pray that as I say over and over and over again and try to emphasize just about weekly, that knowing God through his word is of utmost importance. And that is something that you're doing daily and not just on Sunday. But it's a part of who you are in your daily routine. Spend time with the Father. Father, I pray that we would be a people who look to you, whose spiritual eyes are open, spiritual ears are open to hear your word and to see what you're doing. I pray that we would be people who seek to know you and have knowledge of you, and that we would be a people who worship you. And that you would be honored and glorified by our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.